Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another DistressedPro.com professional podcast in our professional podcast series. Today, I'm really happy to have, I know I'm going to butcher it, Jason, but I'm really happy to have Jason Lucchesi?
Lucchesi.
Darn it. Okay, I'll get it next time. Jason Lucchesi, he's a real estate investor from Indianapolis, Indiana, and he's been in the real estate mortgage business since 2002. He got out of the J-O-B world back in 2008 to pursue his dream of becoming a full-time real estate investor, and since 2009, Jason's primary business has been investing in short sale opportunities, and he's been involved in 151 closed short sales to where he either bought them or negotiated the short sales for other investors and made a profit. As of late 2010, Jason began investing in distressed notes. And over the course of 12 months, he closed over 60 note deals. And so that's pretty impressive volume for just getting warmed up. And he's going to talk to us a little bit today about how he has managed to get bank direct, which is, you know, what we really focus on here, and going to share some secrets with us and some tips and tactics. So, Jason, with that, take it away.
Well, thanks, Brett. I really appreciate the introduction, and don't even worry about the last time Everybody butchers it. Trust me, I get tons of calls on a daily basis, you know, from people wanting to sell us, you know, credit cards or timeshares or whatever, and they do a much worse job of doing my last name, so not a big deal. But for everybody that's taking the time to, you know, listen to this, you know, we're going to be going over a lot of great content, so please take out a piece of paper and a pen, because we're going to be going over a lot of great information today, and I want to make sure that at the end of this this actual call that we're doing, that you're going to be listening to on maybe your MP3 or on your computer, that you're going to be able to walk away, you know, using the strategies that we're going to be going over today. So if you can, just make sure you have that in front of you. I want to make sure that you're prepared. So, other than that, let's go ahead and, you know, kind of jump in here, Brett. As Brett was saying, I am from the Indianapolis, Indiana area, and, you know, I've been doing real estate now since about 2002, got started as a loan officer, and now I'm doing everything full time. So instead of me going over like a long bio and not giving you the meat of what I want to go over, let's just hop right into, you know, why Brett and I are putting this on right now and why we want to share the information that Brett's asked me to give to you guys. So about 12 months ago, probably 13 months ago, I really wanted to start diversifying my portfolio. And I saw that short sales were becoming extremely challenging. We started seeing tons of problems with, you know, banks putting in this special clause called deed restrictions that we can't sell the property in less than 30 days. And for me, my primary business was flipping these properties, you know, same day. You know, we would negotiate the whole thing, and it would take, you know, 6, 9, or 12 months to get the whole thing done. And then now these banks are putting in these 30-day deed restriction policies. Now, I've personally been able to get around that, but a lot of investors that don't have the capital in order to overcome that obstacle or roadblock are trying to find different strategies to use. And at that point in time, I was just thinking, there's got to be something else out here that I could start doing. I didn't want to become what's called in our niche a wholesaler, because there's just so much competition out there with wholesalers putting up these "we buy houses" signs and calling absentee homeowners, and that's just where, you know, an investor may have bought a property, and, you know, they may be, you know, for instance, they have a property in Indiana and they may live in New York. That's what's called an absentee homeowner. You know, those are becoming huge too, because there's lots of equity in them. It gives wholesalers an opportunity to come in and flip them. But the competition is just so huge, especially in my area. We're a much, much smaller city, and there's just so much more competition. And I'm not an individual that thinks, you know, competition is going to stop me. I actually thrive on more competition, the better. That's just how I've always been. And I was really kind of looking around. I did take some note courses probably in 09. Just never really did anything with them. I just kind of let them, you know, sit on the back shelf and never really did anything with them. And then I finally was just like, you know what, I'm going to make a go at this. You know, I'm going to do it. And my motto is either you do or do not. And that's actually a famous quote from Yoda.
Sure.
For those of you that don't know. So I was at the crossroads of do or do not, and I decided to do it. And it's proven to be a great opportunity. It's been very lucrative and much more enjoyable than dealing with short sales, just because they're less hassle, less stress, and you're talking to an individual that isn't like right out of college, and they're making an hourly wage just to try and, you know, pay off student loan debt. You're actually talking to an individual that is intelligent, smart, and, you know, is trying to actually work with you because they're trying to either, you know, get rid of non-performing debt, or they're, you know, just trying to make themselves to have more capital free. So it's much more enjoyable. And so let's kind of talk about exactly how I got started about 13 months ago. And that was, I went over a course, and in the course it was like, call up these secondary marketing departments, these loss mitigation departments, these REO departments. And that's what I did. I started, you know, my terminology is, I started foam bombing these people. Okay.
Sure.
And I didn't have a direct contact, Brett, so I didn't know who to ask for. So I asked for the asset manager.
Mm.
Most of these banks go by that term. And, you know, there's several different titles that they go under.
Sure.
And you've actually taught me a couple different ones that I had no familiarity with. So I would call, ask for the asset manager, and I would get transferred around several different times. It took about 4 hours. And at the end of that time, I didn't know exactly what happened, because they never put me in contact with the right person.
Sure.
So having direct access was key, and I needed to figure out how to get direct access. I needed to figure out who can I call. I knew that, you know, Bank of America and Chase, you know, was going to be extremely tough for getting what we call one-offs, where you could just get individual notes, and you could negotiate with them and just buy one at a time instead of buying in bulk.
Right.
Because that was really what I wanted to do. I wanted to buy just one-offs, and I knew that Bank of America, Chase, and the Wells Fargos out there don't do that.
Right.
Their portfolios are in the high billions. They don't have the manpower to sell off individual assets like that.
Right.
So what I did was I hopped on a site called LinkedIn, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. The main difference between LinkedIn and Facebook, because I did try Facebook, is, but Facebook is more for, you know, catching up with old friends, catching up with old colleagues from maybe a past employer you worked with, or catching up with old school buddies. And LinkedIn is kind of the complete opposite. It's a professional network. And I believe it has, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brett, it has roughly about 200 plus million users on it right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that.
Okay. Because sometimes I get that a little bit butchered. But needless to say, I went on LinkedIn and I was like, okay, there's got to be a way for me to start doing this. And I didn't pay for a premium account. I just have a free basic account on LinkedIn. And I was getting so fed up. What I started to do is on LinkedIn, in the upper right-hand corner, right below where it says log out or log in, there's a spot to where it's like kind of like a little search engine box. And I put in, and please write this down if you're paying attention right now and you're listening to this, this is what kind of changed everything for me. I put in Asset Manager, and I clicked a little magnifying glass. It's like a blue little button. So I clicked on it, and to my amazement, close to 500,000 results popped up for just me typing in current asset managers. So when I typed in asset manager, hit the button, everybody that was a current asset manager popped up. Now, what a lot of you are probably thinking is, well, 500,000 people, that's a lot of people for just one individual to go through. And trust me, I agree with you 100%. But what I did was I looked at it from a geographical standpoint as well. So on LinkedIn, if you scroll down just a little bit on the left-hand side, you're going to see a part where, you know, it lists like, you know, the United States, United Kingdom, and some other, you know, high areas throughout the entire world. So what you could do is you could actually take it from a geographical standpoint and what I call geo-target. And that's where you just type in, like, say, for instance, Indianapolis, and then it'll auto-populate and say Indianapolis, Indiana area, okay? So I then what I did was I hit search again, and it gave me a new list. Now this came back to about 1,600 asset managers just in my little area, just in my little Indianapolis area. Now, that's comprised of local banks, regional banks, hedge funds. All of those are all within that mix of just the term asset manager. Now, that's still a lot of people. Now, what you could do is you could obviously take it a step further even more. On the same column to where you typed in, you know, Indianapolis, Indiana, you can type in, you know, say, for instance, you have a bank that you want to get in contact with. You can type in, say, there's a bank here called First Source Bank. You could type in First Source Bank, and it'll pull up all of the employees. And I believe there's, and I know this off the top of my head, I don't stalk the bank, but I do a presentation a lot for our investor students, and I use First Source Bank as an example. And what they have about 301 employees on there. And one of the things that I actually learned from Brett was, you know, some other key terms that these individuals go by. And what I was able to find out from this particular bank is that they go by loan workout officer. Mm-hmm. So I was actually able to find a loan workout officer and a senior loan workout officer. So just by doing that, I was able to get direct contact to just those individuals. And what I was able to do at that point in time was the following. I don't send just a regular message to them. You know, typically when you go on LinkedIn, it's going to auto-populate, you know, just a regular generic message that says, hey, I'd like to add you to my professional network.
Yeah.
And I don't use that. I actually change it up because I like to be different, where I want to be somebody that stands out to them and resonates, you know, in their head.
Sure.
So this is what I put in, Brett. I'm just going to use the name Michael for an example. I just put, hi, Michael. I own a real estate investment company here locally in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I think we should connect as we'd be able to do some great networking and business together. Let me know if you're interested. Thanks. And then my name, Jason Lucchese. Now, I would go a little bit more in-depth and a little bit more detailed, but I believe you're limited to, I believe, either 140 or 160 characters.
Yeah, there is a limitation. You're right. Yeah,
so I just kept it short and sweet. And I typically get anywhere between a 60 and 65% rate of them actually connecting with me. Now, what you actually get once you connect with these individuals is a bunch of great, solid contact information. So the five things that I want you to write down that you can do in order to get in contact with these people is the following. you could send them a message via LinkedIn, okay? And for those of you that don't know, most of the LinkedIn accounts that you're going to be getting in contact with, people have smartphones, so that's going to automatically, as soon as you send a message, it's going to automatically populate to their email. And most smartphones are connected to, obviously, their email. So they're going to get this this information that's saying, hey, you just received a message from LinkedIn. And they're going to open it up and see that you've sent them a message. So that's one way. Another way is you could scroll down just a little bit on their actual profile page. And they're most of the time they're going to have either their personal or work email address. So at that point in time, you could also send an email message to them. And you could kind of send the same message to them. And typically, what I say when I'm trying to email somebody that I get into contact with, Brett, is I will I'll say something like this. Okay, so this is actually somebody I sent something to. I put, good afternoon, Haley. My name is Jason Lucchese, and I own a real estate investment firm here in Indianapolis, Indiana. I recently had your name come across my desk from an acquaintance that said it would be good for me to introduce myself to you. My company right now is looking at acquiring non-performing and performing mortgages, notes, and trusts. I thought since you're the investor thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And I said, I thought since you're in the investor relations department for King Street Capital Management, that you might be able to help me out and we could do some business together. My company is constantly looking to acquire these notes or trusts, mainly within the Midwest territory like Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, and Kentucky for right now. I hope we can do business together, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate in reaching out to me. Talk to you soon, and then I just give my name and then just a contact number. I don't give a big fancy signature or anything like that. I'm not saying that's bad. You can do that, but that's just what I do, and that's what I'm giving you right now as an example. So to get back, cool. That's two steps right there. Okay.
So the first one was send them a message. To recap for us there. We had our yep. snafu. So. And you threw me off. So, and I'm taking notes. So, number one was
you could send a message via yep. LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Number two is you could get their email, their work email, or their personal email address, and send them the email that we just went over.
Yep.
And then that's the ones that we've gone over right now.
Okay.
Number three is, if you scroll down a little bit, it's almost to the bottom of their profile. Most of the time, they'll either have their work or mobile number.
Yep.
And what I do is, and this is imperative, I typically will send them an email message first just to kind of make the call when I actually make out the call. What I do is I actually send them an email first to make everything kind of a warm introduction.
Yep.
Okay. It just is kind of warming them up and kind of, letting them know, who you are. And then once they get the phone call, they're going to be like, oh, I just received that email from you. And if it, for some reason, went into their spam box, just be like, well, I just wanted to give you a call. I'm not sure if you received my email or not. And then kind of take the call from there. I kind of say the same thing that I say in the email to them. And then just kind of let the conversation unfold from there. Most of these people are willing to speak with you. And real quick, not to get off topic or anything, but I was in contact with one of these individuals. I sent out quite a few of these emails to hedge funders, and I got a call back from a hedge fund. And the guy that called me back, because I sent out the email to the actual founder of the company, because that's mm-hmm. the only information I could find.
Sure.
And he passed off the information to somebody maybe a few spots below him in title. he called me up and he said, hey, you know, so-and-so gave me your information. He wanted me to reach out to you. I told him what I was looking for. And they're like, well, we're really sorry. We are not selling off any of our current assets. But what do you think most people would do in that particular situation?
Well, okay, thanks. You know, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a lot of people do. But instead, I turn the conversation around and I ask, well, what are you guys looking for? And he was like, well, Jason, to be honest with you, we're looking to take down commercial notes. They could be performing or non-performing. And I said, great, we come across those. Are you guys looking in any particular area? He said, no, we're looking throughout the entire United States. I said, well, what's your buying criteria? And he said, Jason, we're looking for anything that we could purchase at either $1 million or more. And I did a little bit more research on this company, and they have a pretty large portfolio, probably in the $5 to $10 billion range. So I know that they're serious, what I like to call them, A players. And, you know, now I've got this guy's, he called me from an unknown number. So most people might get scared about asking, you know, what's your phone number? Yeah. But I ended up finding out the guy's direct number. He gave me his email address. I made him spell out his name to me because when he called me, I was kind of caught off guard. So I made him spell out his name to me. And now him and I personally asked him, I said, well, would you mind if I put you on our email list, which you'll get sent out commercial properties as they come in? And then he said, Jason, I would really appreciate it if you did do that because we're looking to take down a lot of commercial notes this year. And he said, if it fits our criteria, we'll send you a wire within 1 to 2 business days. So that turns from me either saying, okay, thanks for your time, bye, to, hey, I've got somebody that wants to now purchase commercial notes from me for $1 million or more.
Sure.
So you can kind of think about what kind of spreads you can make on that, but commercial notes are obviously going to give you an opportunity to make a very large spread or profit spread. So that turned into a great conversation. And the one thing that I want you guys to get away from this, from that example, is, or it wasn't an example, it was a real life situation. Never give up on that individual because at the end of that call, too, I said, well, what do you guys do with the stuff, like the residential stuff that you don't want? He said, well, we typically, we don't even bother with it. And I said, well, is there a way that, you know, I could take a look at and I could pay you guys like maybe like a, you know, a premium for sending that information over to me? And he said, most definitely. So
nice.
That call turned into a great opportunity for me to network with a pretty large hedge fund. So I want you guys to that are listening to this, and I'm sure Brett would agree with me on this because I just from talking to Brett and knowing him now for a little bit, I know he's got kind of the same mindset, is never let just somebody say no once. My thing that I used to do when I was in the mortgage business, and this may sound kind of bad, but I wouldn't let a possible prospect get off the phone without them either saying, leave me alone, or they would give me 5 no's. And the guy never said no to me, so I kept asking questions.
Sure.
To where it ended up turning into a great opportunity for me to do business with this huge hedge fund. Okay, so yeah. I know we got a little off track on that, but I apologize.
No, it's
great. I felt like that was something that was needed to be shared with your group.
Yeah, for sure.
So just to recap, we've got 3 covered so far. That's send a message via LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
That's send an email to either their personal or work address, or get the phone number to either their work or mobile. So 4th, we're at now, is sometimes they'll put their Skype information on there. You could get in contact with them via Skype. I've had that pop up a few times, or another instant messenger that they put on there. That could prove to be somewhat of a good strategy. I would say give it a try. But if they don't know you, then they may not respond to you, but it's just another point of contact. The other thing, too, is they put their date of birth on there. For instance, we've got somebody, one of our asset managers, that has a birthday coming up on February 16th. So if you don't know the person and you want to try and, you know, get your name out there to them, it would be extremely important to send out maybe like a birthday card. And don't just send it like in a regular envelope. Maybe go and get like a regular USPS envelope to where when they get it, it doesn't just get shuffled up in the rest of their mail that they get. They'll actually get this big envelope, and then inside is the birthday card. Or if you want, send, if it's a woman, you could send some flowers with it. Or if it's a guy, maybe like a gift card for lunch. You know, I don't know what the main lunch places are. I'm sure, Brett, you've got a lot of people that listen to this. And I know in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they're across the country, so, you know.
Yeah, well, for example, you could get them like a $10 gift card or something to, say, for instance, Qdoba or Chipotle. I know those are a national chain. And I don't have a problem with eating burritos, so I'm sure probably other people don't have a problem with it either.
Sure. I mean, I think anybody likes to – sorry. I think anybody likes to be recognized, even if, you know – I mean, that's just a nice thing to do. That's good old-fashioned networking, you know, like the old days. You know, the only difference is you've identified these people through, you know, modern technology. Really.
Right.
You know?
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, one of the takeaways that people could get from this, Brett, is the following. And the main reason why I bring up the whole birthday thing is it really helps, because when I was doing a lot of short sales, if, you know, somebody at the loss mitigation department that was dealing with us and doing negotiations wouldn't get in contact with us, and it took them like 3 or 4 days, you know, I would do something, I don't say to the extreme, but I actually, on some occasions, I would actually send that negotiator, and most of the negotiators for short sales are more in it's more of a woman that is in that role, and I'm not saying if it's a man, you're, you know, SOL, but I actually sent the woman a dozen roses. She called me up crying, saying, "Nobody's ever done this for me. I appreciate it. You know, you are so
That's
sweet.
Great.
You know," and she basically apologized to me for not getting to my file within a quick time. And 2 days later, I had the short sale approval letter, and we closed. So
wow.
You can definitely take a lot away from that. And for those of you that don't know Robert Cialdini, I would look up his books. There's a book called Influence, and the last name is Cialdini. And you could probably get the book on Amazon, but I highly recommend you read that, because it's all about influencing and how to get things that you want. And believe it or not, you could do small things to make somebody's day better, and they're going to be like, you know, Jason really made me – I'm sure this isn't what they say out loud, but they're going to remember you, okay? Like, you know, yesterday, you know, I was in a meeting, and I didn't know the people – and, you know, just I gave small compliments throughout the whole entire meeting. And at the end of the meeting, you know, I got exactly what I wanted from that meeting, and that was a few new transactions that I wanted to buy. So, you know, I knew going in that I was going to have a tough time getting these new acquisitions. And at the end of the day, you know, there was about 8 of them that I wanted to get. I ended up getting 5 of them for the exact price that I wanted to. And it was just because I was paying compliments to them. I didn't give them any monetary items. I was just paying compliments to them throughout the whole entire presentation and throughout the whole entire meeting. So that's a very good takeaway that I'd recommend that you get that book. It's probably – you could probably get a used copy, Brett, for maybe $5 to $10.
Sure.
Not a big amount of money. And it's a great book. It's not a big book. You could probably finish it in a week. So – Again, we went a little off track, but I wanted to make sure people were taking that away. And we'll probably wrap up here in just a second. But the other couple main things I want to go over is, if you look on the top of the page, once you connect with these people, they're going to have probably their Twitter, Facebook, and probably their blog and company website. Or it could be one of the other. Most of the time, depending on if the person's really active or not, if they're not active, they'll probably have their company website on there. So for reasons like they don't post their email or their phone number, well, you could go on the company website and get the phone number now. You can get it, and you can actually – now when you're calling in, you're not calling in blind saying, hey, I need to speak to an asset manager. You could call in now saying, hey, I need to speak to Joe Schmo. And they're going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, let me connect you with him. Now you've got that access, okay? And then, sometimes they'll put their Facebook account on there, their Twitter account, and their blog. So you could find out a little bit of information about them. And what I tend to do is if they have their blog on there, I'll actually go on there and read it. I'll read their bio and find out a little bit about them to where I can have something to talk about when I call them instead of it just being a strict business call. About probably 80% of it to be a business call, but in the beginning is the most important. You've got literally about, it depends on the person's personality, so you have anywhere from 10 to 15 seconds all the way up to 60 to 70 seconds. So if you find something on their blog that you could relate with them on right off the bat, you're going to get your foot in the door, and that conversation is probably going to go to 15 to 20 minutes then. And you better know that you're going to get off that phone call knowing that person's going to know who you are, and you're going to walk away with their email, their phone number, and you're going to be able to contact them in the future if they're able to do business with you. So those are the things that I really wanted to cover on this actual call podcast that I want to make sure that you guys can take away from this. And I kind of, right now open it up to you, Brett, and if you have any questions that you may have thought I missed on this actual presentation, well, it's not a presentation. We're giving everybody this information, and we're hoping, by me kind of giving you the step-by-step illustration over the phone or over the MP3 player, that you could kind of take what I'm saying, because LinkedIn's really not that hard of a platform to understand. So I highly recommend that you, if you're not on there, that you get on there immediately. And, I'll kind of open it up to you now, Brett, seeing if you have any additional questions that you think would be beneficial for everybody that's listening.
Yeah, no, I don't have a lot of questions around that. I think, mainly because I've spent, I've got a little bit of background on LinkedIn, run groups and that kind of a thing. But also, having been a member of your course for a bit, I've really seen a lot of what you have in there. And so that's been, really helpful to me. We'll definitely provide that information to anybody who's interested after this about where they can learn more about that. But what I do want to just give you an opportunity to do is a little networking here. If you want to talk about what kind of deals you're looking for or what kind of people that you want to connect with out there, we do have a lot of listeners, and I've had success with this in the past. I've been told by a number of folks who we've done these sorts of calls with that they get calls from the right kinds of people. So you want to talk a little bit about what you're looking for, business-wise today?
Oh, most definitely, Brett. We actually have a good amount of student investors that we work with, and they're spread out throughout the entire country. So if you come across for me personally, we're looking to just buy stuff throughout the Midwest territory, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, possibly Wisconsin and Michigan. If you come across, non-performing notes or performing notes within that area, we're definitely interested in those. Myself and my business partner are definitely interested in those. But we have students from east to west that are constantly looking to acquire new non-performing notes or performing notes. So if you come across those, and even if you don't have it right now and you just want to get in contact with us just to have our contact information when you do get that kind of product, we would be more than open to talking to anybody that's listening to this, because we're constantly looking to buy and acquire. We're definitely open to, you know, speaking with anybody that's listening to this right now.
Cool. Do you want to, how should people get in touch with you?
They can get in contact with me. I'll give you my personal email address. I know this is going out to your people, and I know you have very solid people. So I know that I'm not going to get blown up. So I'll go ahead and give out my personal email address here. It's Jason, J-A-S-O-N, period. And then it's my last name, which is spelled L-U-C-C-H-E-S-I @gmail.com. And feel free, just kind of briefly, if you're listening to this and you want to get into contact with me, just briefly mention that you heard the podcast by Brett and I, and you're getting in contact with me for that reason, so I could, you know, reference back to where, you know, to how you found out the information about me, because I want to make sure that, you know, we're dealing with each other on the right level, and that, you know, we could, you know, turn any type of a relationship into a great networking and great business relationship with each other. And you know, that's what we're really wanting to do with this, Brett, is we're wanting to network with as many people as possible, because there's so much opportunity out there. And you're more of a numbers guy, and I'll even say this right now, Brett's extremely intelligent. I'll definitely admit he's smarter than me, because when he was going over some stuff with me, he kind of put me to shame with some of the things he was going, but
you're making me blush, Jason. You're making me blush. Okay.
But what I was going to say, there's such a huge opportunity right now. And Brett, correct me if I'm wrong, but right now we're seeing in mortgages right now, there's about $1.1 trillion in non-performing or toxic debt with these mortgage companies and with these hedge funds. So there's such a huge opportunity out there. I know there's not just one person that could take down all of this stuff, or even several people. So we're looking to expand. We're looking to network with people. And if that's you, feel free to get in contact with us. We'd love to chat with you.
Well, that's awesome. And I really appreciate coming on and sharing all this. And we'll get this out right away and get the transcripts and all that, because I think, you know, I really do get a lot of questions from people about, you know, where they're just kind of getting their feet wet with LinkedIn, trying to figure out what they're, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, I'm running a software business and whatnot. And so, you know, as well as all the deals that I'm doing. So it's hard to, you know, it's great to have somebody come on and really lay it out like that. I really appreciate it. You know, I've dabbled in it, but I think you really nailed it. So thanks a lot for coming on.
No, thank you, Brett. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of all of your listeners. And I hope they get a lot out of it, because this is what we're currently doing right now. We know, you know, what's working for us. And, you know, if anybody has any questions, you can feel free to let either, you know, myself or Brett know. But Brett, seriously, thanks for allowing me to come on and give this information. I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Thanks again.
Thank you.